Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go on a Monday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick. Headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
No. We'll do it live!
You're looking for tickets for the M's and Twins tonight, the M's and Angels this weekend, including a doubleheader over the weekend, by the way. VenueKings.com can get you set up. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little bit of a discount. So after the M's were one hit by the Red Sox yesterday.
So we got one damn hit.
I just wanted a reason to play that drop again, by the way. The M's now 27-33, 10 games out in the West, 4.5 games out in the wild card. Starting a three-game series with the Twinkies tonight, Chris Flexen versus Chris Archer in Game 1, Logan Gilbert tomorrow, and then Marco
Gonzalez
on Wednesday.
Game 5, San Francisco, the scene tonight, Warriors and Celtics tied at 2. Commissioner Adam Silver will not be attending the game. Why?
Why?
He's in health and safety protocol.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did they not play that game last night, by the way? Isn't there usually an NBA Finals game on Sunday night?
Yes, but they've got Game 7 coming up on Sunday. I guess they didn't want to change venues with only 2 days in between, or one day in between.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. WHL Championship Series continues tonight in Edmonton with Ian Furness over on 1090 The Patriot,
nice,
calling the game against the Edmonton Oil Kings. The T-Birds down 3 games to 2. Game 6 is tonight, again, in Edmonton over on 1090 at 6:30. And the Stanley Cup Finals begins on Wednesday. Game 1, Colorado and Tampa at 5 o'clock right here on 93.3 KJRFM.
Phil Mickelson spoke today to the media at the U.S. Open, says his preference would be to be able to choose to play on both the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. And Rory McIlroy fired an 8-under-62 to win his second straight Canadian Open title yesterday.
Pretty good. Major League Baseball, one note, National starting pitcher Steven Strasburg started his first game since last June on Thursday of last week. He now is going back on the injured list this afternoon.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go. Busy Monday. The gang is back together except for one person. That'd be our producer, Jackson Phelps.
Yeah, where's Jackson?
I have no idea. You tell me. You were with him on Thursday.
I just know he took off on, when did he take off? He got Thursday.
I don't think he was
Wednesday.
Here Thursday, because you were off on Friday.
I was off on Friday.
I was off on Friday.
Yep.
Jackson was off on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And then you and I come back on Monday. Apparently Jackson believes the weekends are 4 days long. Where the hell's Jackson? Huh? Down there in San Bernardino complaining about the weather on Twitter. You see that, by the way?
Oh, I didn't. Well, it's got to be like 110 in San Bernardino, right?
Well, we were down in Sonoma over the weekend. Actually, we left on Friday night, and it was 104 degrees when we left the Santa Rosa airport on Friday afternoon.
With a little Charlie Brown statue
yes.
there? Yeah, I like
and
that
we
airport.
Landed right in Seattle at about 7:30, and it was 59 degrees when we it got was, off the plane.
We
man.
Literally had, we have had 6 hours of summer so far, and that was between 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Right. That was it.
Well, it
the
just,
rest of the time, it's been just like it is outside right now, 59 degrees.
Really, really what it is, it's just the summer of suck is what it is.
Yes.
The weather sucks. The stock market sucks. Oof. The baseball team Oof. Sucks. Everything sucks
you
around
funny?
Here.
And
this
you...
radio show sucks. And you know what else? You suck.
And, you know
and Jacob sucks.
That?
And I suck. And everybody sucks.
The Mariners are the best part of the three. Think about that for a second. Of the three you just mentioned there, the weather,
God.
The Mariners, and the stock market, the Mariners are actually the better of the three.
You're telling me the best thing that we have to offer is a baseball team that is six games
that
under 500.
When you're comparing it to the weather and the stock market, you better believe it.
Man. Well, if that's the best thing we have to offer, we may as well start drinking heavily, by the way, because the summer of suck is not going well for anybody. Well, we got a lot to get to. Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, also, you may have heard, does a little radio show out there on KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
The season can't end like that!
He's going to join us coming at 3:30 with the Twins in town tonight. Thought we would get Paul on the air and do a little smack. I was going to say do some smack talk between Minnesota and the Mariners, but I don't even know what the hell that is, man. When was the last time you actually were talking smack about your baseball team with a buddy of yours?
Well, didn't we do it to Daniel Jeremiah when he came on about the Padres?
I guess
the last time we did that.
That was before the Mariners went down the toilet when the year got going. So Paul will join us at 3:30. Corey Brock coming up 4 o'clock today. And then Chuck Powell, morning show host, will join us coming at 5 o'clock as well and get his take on the M's. And I'm hearkening back to before I left for vacation and your little, you had a Dick Fain 30-point plan. Remember that?
Yes.
For this baseball team.
Yes, 18 and 12 was the 30-point plan.
Right. I think we were sitting at the Emerald Queen Casino, which we will be there, by the way, this Thursday doing the radio show. Come by and say hi from the sports book. Mm-hmm. And it was the morning of the Oriole-Mariner game.
That's right.
And you put a tweet out and you said there are 30 games between now and the end of the month, which was the end of June. And you did not think that 18 and 12 was unreasonable for the M's to pull off something like that.
That's right.
Well, they are 7-5 since then, which means they have to go 11-7 the rest of the way to get to 18 and 12. And again, you know, we had this little debate at the Sports Star banquet about, you know, do you take it in 15 game chunks? Do you take it in 30 game chunks? Do you look at it, you know, from the point you're talking about today to the end of the year? No matter how you look at it, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? Or whatever. I'd love to know where that phrase came from, by the way. Did somebody actually tell a guy, hey, man, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Let me show you. Here's approach number one. Here's approach number two. I mean, what the hell? What's the history? What's the genesis behind that saying? But we're both talking about the same thing. Getting to a common goal, a certain point, whether it's 81-81, 85 wins, which is where the Red Sox would be right now, and they're in the three hole of the wild card race, or 90 wins, which is usually for us kind of a barometer for making the playoffs, is 90 plus victories. So they have to go 11-7 the rest of the way. To get to 500, they have to go 54-48. And to get to 85 wins, which is where the Red Sox are right now, again in that three spot in the wild card race, the M's have to go 58-44. So, you know, the weird thing for me is they actually look like a better baseball team in the last week and a half. I think the Mariners
no
do.
Yeah.
Right? Their offense is coming alive. They've been getting some better starting pitching. Yet they've only gained one game in the division since I left you. They were 11 games back, and now they're 10 games back, and they're pretty much in the same spot in the wild card race. So I don't know. I mean, are there positive vibes about this baseball team after dropping 2 out of 3 against the Boston Red Sox? I think when you win 4 of 5 series, you feel like you're playing pretty good ball.
That's right.
You're heading in the right direction. Yet they're not gaining a tremendous amount of ground, mostly because of the big-ass hole that they dug for themselves in the first 2 months of the season.
And that's why I don't worry about games back right now. That's why the only thing I worried about at the end of May was getting to the end of June and making up ground on 500. Because once you get to 500, you are legitimately in the mix when you have 3 wild cards now. And what you've done is you've won those 4 consecutive series, 2 of them against the Houston Astros. Which you are 6-6 against with a positive run differential in now 12 games against the Houston Astros. That's just not a small sample size.
That's good.
Yeah. That's 12 games against the Astros and you're 6-6. And, you know, I sat at the Emerald Queen on Thursday.
Yeah.
We had a game on Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I said, hey, get me to 2-2 between now and the end of the weekend. I mean, I'm not asking for anything. What you want is just consistent walking in the right direction. And that's what they've done, right? That's
exactly
what they've done. You win 4 out of 5 series, you are consistently walking in the right direction. And that's why, you know, I listening to the, once again,
the bang your head against the wall show of record.
Mariners are doomed show of record.
Yeah, they could be, though.
You know, well, but again, it's one game. Like, Scott Service was exactly right. They could have lost all 3 of those games. They could have won all 3 of those games. They could have been 1-2. They could have been 2-1. Why is it that am I positive that if they were gone 2-1 instead of 1-2, the negative Nelly show of record would have had a totally completely different tone on the whole season going forward?
Well, because that's
based
part,
upon game that ended 2-0.
Well, first of all, your take that they could have gone 2-1. I mean, technically, they could have gone 3-0. They're 27 and 33. They could be 33-27.
That's right.
But they're not.
No.
They are what they are.
No, what I just said, they could have done.
They are.
Because of the way that series went.
Right.
All three of those games were basically coin flips.
I think it's just part of being a baseball fan. This is why I hate this, and I've said it many, many times. I can't stand it. You know, I think that what I've said before, I've said two things. Number one, Major League Baseball should play the first half of the year behind a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the All-Star game, unveil the standings. Like, the college football playoff rankings don't come out until week 9 or week 8, whatever it is. Tell me in July where everybody is at. And then we can start from there.
That's a great call.
Okay?
Because that's when it starts mattering.
Or
really.
Play it in like 15-game chunks or 16-game chunks. And we should not be allowed to react to anything until we have 2.5 weeks of baseball in the rearview mirror. But we are asked as fans, and fans, I mean, fans can do whatever they want, but we are asked as guys that work in this stupid-ass business to respond to everything we see. And what I saw over the weekend was a baseball team that still has many warts, mm-hmm. either in the bullpen, with their starting staff, or with their offense. And all three phases of the game for the Mariners at some point in time have shown to have massive holes, you know, and there's reasons for it. You know, look, and I get it, you know, about, hey, Jerry DePoto, I think, has put together a better roster than 27-33. I don't know if they're a playoff roster. I do think they should be performing better. There's a couple of guys that stand out, and Larry Stone was writing about this on Twitter, and I went back and looked it up, that when the Mariners signed Jesse Winker, all of us went on the air and said, oh, this guy murders right-handers, kills right-handed pitching. In 107 games last year with the Reds, Jesse Winker hit .346 with a 1070 OPS against righties. His OPS has basically been cut in half. It's .544 against righties, so he's not doing his job. They were hoping for a healthy Mitch Haniger. That's not happening. Guys played 9 games. Hoping for a healthy Kyle Lewis. That's not happening, okay? Hoping for Robbie Ray to be a dominant starting pitcher outside of yesterday. That's not happening. He's played 13 games, and the M's are 6-7 as a team. I don't give a damn what Robbie Ray's record is. What I care about is what the Mariner record is when Robbie Ray's on the mound, and they're not even a .500 baseball team with their highest-paid pitcher on the mound. The bullpen that was lights out last year, guess what? Shockingly, not lights out this year. So a lot of these issues, I think a lot of us saw. I think they're going to have to get a lot of guys to improve their stat line tremendously, or they're going to have to make another move or two if they want to be serious about contending for a playoff spot. Because, Dick, you look at the standings, and look, I'm generally with you. We shouldn't even be looking at the playoff standings until these guys get to 500. When they're 500, and then even maybe even late July, whatever.
Well, and then don't look at the playoff standings until you're like 60 to 80 games away from the end of the year, but not 100 games away from the end.
But there's a reason why they provide the playoff standings, because everybody is getting in position before the deadline on the 31st of July to make a move. Boston might make a move. Cleveland might make a move. The Angels might make a move. The Yankees right now are kind of running away with this thing in their division. You know, Houston's going to be approaching 100 W's by the end of the year. So I see a baseball team that is decent. They're not, I think, a good baseball team. They're not a great baseball team. I think to be good, you have to be at least 500, and they're not that right now. But again, they need their stars. They need, and you saw what Robbie Ray was capable of doing yesterday against a really good hitting lineup. Yep. You need more of that. Nobody should feel bad asking Robbie Ray to get off his ass and start delivering more games like we saw yesterday, because that's what it will take to get this team back into playoff contention. Your leader's leading the way, and Robbie Ray is your biggest leader on that pitching staff. Not even close.
Well, yeah, I mean, I gave you the stats before we came on the air. Logan Gilbert, what'd I say, 5 times greater WAR than anybody else on the staff?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Right. I mean, that you're a youngster.
Not acceptable.
That you're counting on. But let's face it. Let's look at the facts. The facts are Mariners are mediocre. But guess what the other facts are? Everybody they're competing with for the wild card is also mediocre, including the Boston Red Sox. That's not a great baseball team. It's a baseball team that's essentially what you are. Boston, Cleveland, Rangers, Angels, White Sox, So you have to, A, get healthier, like you mentioned before with Kyle Lewis and Mitch Haniger, and B, make those savvy moves at the trade deadline to get yourself going in the right direction so you can win the 86-87 games it's going to take to make the playoffs.
I understand what you're saying about rosters and things like that. I think the Red Sox happen to have a better roster than the Mariners do. It may not be a tremendously better roster than the M's do. The difference is Boston's on pace to win 85 and you're on pace to win 73. So in the end, who cares?
Who cares? Is a 4-3 football team after 7 weeks in the NFL necessarily better than a 3-4 football team? Oh, but wait, one's on pace to win 10 games. It's one game in a football season. I mean, that's why it is asinine. It is insane to look in the middle of June and make anything out of the difference between a 32-29 team and a 29-32 or 27-33. At this point in the season, those teams are essentially the same.
Yeah, but they're right not. Now. But they're not, because their records say they're not. Again, the Mariners.
So there's a big difference. So let me get you straight. There's a big difference between a 4-3 basic football team and a 3-4 football team.
But Dick, that's not what we're talking about, because the NFL teams have to rally for 1 week. Baseball teams have to go out there every single day, and they need players to start stepping up that haven't done it before. They need guys in their bullpen to start to get their magic back. They need guys in. You just mentioned their rotation. How much better Logan Gilbert is than everybody else in their rotation. Here's the thing. I understand where you're coming from. You're a positive guy, all right? I get it. But there's also no reason to criticize people out there who are fed up with the way this baseball team is playing, sick and tired of always having to look for, you know, a silver lining somewhere, and not being allowed to have an opinion until the middle of July or late August. I think baseball, again, I'm being half sarcastic about playing the whole thing behind a curtain, but this team's got holes.
Yes, it does.
Never mind the record. I mean, what they're on pace for, what they've done so far, they've got holes. If I put, you know, a gun to your head and said, who makes the playoffs between Boston and Seattle, you'd be a fool to not take Boston. Of course you'd take Boston over Seattle, because they've got the wherewithal to go make a move at the end of the year. They have the payroll flexibility, which I thought we had as well. I think right now they have a bit of a better roster. Their bullpen's been banged to bits a little bit, and the Mariners up until this weekend. And what are they, 6-1-6? Is that right? Against the Red Sox, their record, because they got swept in Boston, and then they dropped 2 out of 3.
So they're 1-5.
They're 1-5 against the Red Sox. Then they play 4 games in Boston. Was a 3-gamer. I thought it was a 4-gamer. But that's the thing. I mean, really, how do we compare who's a better team, who's not a better team? I mean, really, records, head-to-head, the Red Sox are on pace to win 85, the M's are on pace to win 73, and one team's beating you 6 out of 7.
But a week and a half ago, you know, Boston's just won 8 of the last 10.
Right.
So a week and a half ago, they were under 500.
Right.
So they're on pace, quote-unquote, to go 80-82. So which is more accurate? The Boston Red Sox of a week ago that was on pace to win 80, or the Boston Red Sox because they had one good week and a half to win 85?
I think you're talking about the team that you see right now, because we have more data. We have a team that's on pace to win 85 games.
Okay, so if they go 2-8 over the next 10 games,
it might change.
Then all of a sudden they're no good anymore, right?
No, that means that's what they're on pace to do at that point in time. I don't I guess here's the thing. I've been back from vacation for 19 minutes, and I don't understand what direction you're coming from. I mean, what are you telling me? That the M's are a World Series contender?
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
What are you saying to me?
Well, I'm simply saying that judging the outcome of a 162-game season and predicting the outcome of a 162-game season based upon one 2-0 loss, that if it would have gone 2-0 on the other side and Robbie Ray came away with a complete game shutout, all of a sudden we're talking, look at this freaking baseball team. That's what I'm saying. Why does one game mean that much in the emotional swing of a city?
Well, because it doesn't. It's not about one game. It's about 27-33.
But don't you think
that's what it's about?
The vibe of this whole show and this whole radio station today would be totally different had it gone 2-0 the other way?
I don't know. Should it be? They'd be 28-32. They'd be 4 games under.
But either
way, they're under 500. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to throw a party for a team that's under 500. I'm not going to throw a party for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 21 years.
We'd be talking about five straight series wins.
You would be talking about that. You'd be saying, hey, things are moving in the right direction. Let's keep it going. But nobody's planning a party. Nobody's planning a parade at that point, right?
I don't think you have to do.
Long way to go.
But I don't think the trend of a five series trend changes on one game.
I don't think we're talking about one game, though, because you keep mentioning one game in one series. I'm talking about overall, this baseball team is 27-33. And to climb back in the race, they've got to win series. They have to win four series out of five.
They got the schedule coming
up to do
it.
They have to go 8-2 in 10 games. You realize that the Mariners have not won more than two games in a row since April, okay? And to be that team that you're talking about, that's what they have to do. So you can take whatever attitude you want to take. I can take whatever attitude I want to take. All of us are talking about getting back to one point where they can be in the playoffs. You want to be upset. You want to be skeptical until then. You want to be positive Peter until then. You do whatever you want. I'm just saying this. If you were to throw all the teams in the American League into a bucket and say, give me the six teams that make the playoffs, I think if you asked the majority of fans out there, the Mariners right now at this point would not be one of them.
I think it's fair.
They would not be one of them. And that's the problem, is that they would not be one of them. They have to show us that they can be one of them and that they should be one of them. You just mentioned the Red Sox had done what? They've won 8 of 10?
8 of 10.
Okay, the Mariners haven't done that in how long? I don't even think they've done it since the first
September.
2 weeks of the year, since April. When
they
were 11-6.
Yeah.
And they won 6 out of 7.
But now's your chance, because it's Minnesota,
right.
L.A., Oakland,
right.
L.A., Baltimore,
right.
Oakland.
So let's see it then.
This is it
right here. Let's see it. Show it to us then. Show it to
us. This is 11-6
to close
the month.
I told you, man. I'm Missouri. Show me.
All right.
Just show me. Go out there and kick somebody's ass. Where is it written the M's are not allowed to win 3 in a row? Where is it written the M's are not allowed to go 15-5 over 20 games? Can we do that? Do something like that. Get over 500, get back in this thing, start kicking people's ass on a regular basis, and then you'll get the city to jump on the wagon. I think people just want to have it shown to them. Show me. Show me. We'll get a break. 49451 is the text line. You want to comment on any of these shenanigans? Paul Allen, by the way, voice of the Vikings, is in Minnesota getting ready for the big series with the Twins tonight, baby. Coming up on 93.3 KJRFM.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, we are back on a Monday afternoon. Took 20 minutes and we can't even agree on anything, for crying out loud. I need that in my life. I need the argument. I need the debate in my life. It's it breaks up the monotony of my otherwise boring, soulless life I have here. So joining us right now on the radio show, one of our favorites from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Cool. Right on.
He is the voice of the Vikings and the host of the highly rated star-studded show 10 to noon, on K-Fan Radio in Minneapolis. Our friend on the FM dial, who now joins us, by the way, after years of badgering Paul Allen, on the FM dial in Seattle on 93.3 KJR-FM. Hey. How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. Highly rated after that perceptual. I feel like I'm an upstart on AM, but that's okay. And by the way, you went mashing on the alleged mundane of your life.
Mm.
So it's a Monday here, yeah. Sneaking up on early evening, getting ready for Steph.
Yeah.
And you ain't gonna like where I am. I'm at Canterbury Park, the racetrack at which I work,
and
where I call races. But we're not racing today. I'm here because I hit a trifecta yesterday that was requisite of coming back to the track and scooping some chips. So that ain't mundane, baby. You can call us the cornfields all you want, but that ain't mundane.
The wealthy Paul Allen then joins us right now on the radio show from Canterbury Park in the great state of Minnesota. Hey, let me ask you a question before we talk about this.
What up,
highly anticipated series between the M's and Twins starting tonight in Seattle. When these two teams get together, throw out the record books, baby. Can you explain to me why they built this beautiful new ballpark in Minneapolis and there's no roof on top of that sucker?
No, that's boring. Who cares?
We want to know. We had a delay.
Hey, I ain't trying. I'm not trying to usurp the perceptual and like have you set up your show and your set list and everything. I'm just saying in spring, summer, and early fall, we have very, very minimal weather-related situations. However, when it comes to the ballyhooed, highly anticipated series between the Twins and the M's, I wish I could share more with you, and this ain't the greatest thing in the world to say, being a host of a mid-morning show in the iHeart family, but I think I've watched a combined 60 Twins innings this year. You know, it's the NFL draft and summer sets in and the racing at Canterbury Park rolls in. I got softy spots. So it's nothing personal. I probably watch 75 to 100.
Yeah.
But being a veteran like you, I mean, we got roots to find in that bad boy to make it look like you watched every pitch.
Dick,
so don't share that one on Twitter.
Yeah, he can't be bothered with Minnesota Twins baseball.
No, exactly.
I love it.
They got way too many important things.
But seriously, when you work in the NFL and, you know, you're following stuff super closely there, you're going to boring practices, and I love the Wolves, for better or for worse. I called two freaking Wild games for the first time in my life on KFAN, so I'm following that thing closely. And then all of a sudden the chill rolls in. It's background music. It's like Carole King's Tapestry album while I'm grilling on a Thursday night.
All right, well, Paul, big picture question then on general sports after a third of a season. How do you evaluate? We were talking about how to evaluate a season.
No. Yeah. Hey. And I apologize. I mean, it's not like I can't talk about the Twins, man. Here's the deal. The A topic actually with the first place team is that Buxton and Correa kick ass when they're together. But we have load management terrorism with Byron, and Correa got bit with COVID 2 weeks ago. So they're still, you know, in and out with him. Now, this is legit because I don't care enough about baseball to go homer on this thing. When they have Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, Ore Polanco, Max Kepler, and Luis Arraez,
yep,
who's the best contact hitter right now in Major League Baseball. When they have those guys going game after game after game after game, then if the pitching can just give them four and change, you know, then they can get into the bullpen. Then you got to hide the women and children, but it's worked well enough so far so that they're in first place. So, I mean, I can talk about the squad all day if you want. I'm just saying from a personal life standpoint, with the NFL on the horizon, and my preseason road games are at Vegas and Denver. Are you kidding? That's the freaking bomb. That's where I'm casting my gaze.
How have the Twins gotten here big picture? Over the last 5-6 years, they've been consistently competitive. You know, they had one bump on the road. And they have a slightly below average payroll every single year, and yet they're always competing. We kind of want to get to that spot where the Twins have been.
Yeah, mostly. But, I mean, you know, back with Ken Griffey Jr., obviously, and Ichiro and Buehner and Langston and just up through the big names. I mean, I remember M's baseball specifically, 21 years ago? I know it's a long time, but they won a million games. You know, the Twins have the only professional, the only championships for the core four. I don't want to disrespect the NBA, WNBA, but with the core four pro sports, they got the only two titles. So they have that, but they're like 40 years ago, man. So therefore, when it comes to the pantheon of things and whether we want to look at a truncated view 5 years, 10 years, or we want to go back to Ken Griffey Jr. and Kirby Puckett, yes, these teams do have a little immortality to them. But see, the Twins, they got to a point where you know, in a sport where there's no salary cap, they're not splashing, and either they're trying to splash and the guy's like, no, I don't want to come, or they're not splashing. Now, this year they splashed on Correa, but Correa had to get the benefit of the doubt or the benefit of the deal where he's like, I get an option after this year. So, I mean, we'll see where the Twins go. Correa's the freaking bomb. I mean, seriously, I followed the Astros, but I didn't watch him closely enough because I was too concerned about Altuve and what he allegedly was hiding under Softy's jersey. But Correa, with these leadership skills and just the captain cool factor of, like, the real good ones, and then the two-strike, two-out stuff in the seventh and eighth, he's sharp, man, and he's just kind of elevated everything this year.
How much did you win in your trifecta, by the way?
763. Here's the deal, Softy. We had a race yesterday that I was calling, and yeah. There were 12 in there.
Yeah.
The horse that I picked in the handicapping show, and this is all verifiable. If somebody needs veracity, YouTube, Canterbury Park live streaming, find yesterday's date, and it was like the fifth or sixth race, and the trifecta paid 760. But if you go all the way back to the beginning, I do a pre-race show with Bally Sports North's Kevin Gore. And I picked a horse named Bailout Kila, who only runs second, but kind of looked best, but I knew it was wide open. So then I'm like looking at these sneaky trainers and these little in-race angles. Like if you watch an eight-horse race back, I call it the all 32. Because each horse has four legs and we got eight of them. I always love that one. And when I watch back some of these races, I see nuance and talent with these young horses. And sometimes they're big odds. I got lucky yesterday. I trifecta boxed five of them for $30 on a 50-cent play. And then I had $31 left on my voucher. I'm like, what the hell? 31 is not even going to get Softy a win bet in rent in it at Emerald Downs. Mm. So I got to play the same trifecta again. So I hit repeat. 9-1 winner, 9-1 runner up, 31-1 in third. Boom, here's the announcer.
So let me ask you this. Everything you've been a part of with the Vikings, is he there, by the way? Did we lose him?
Yeah, I'm right here.
He's right there. Everything.
I didn't cut out, did I?
No. Well, I mean, you may have, but it was kind of an abrupt transition. It's fine. It was an elite diatribe. Everything you've been a part of with the Vikings. Everything you've been a part of with the T-Wolves and the Twins and Golden Gopher football, is that trifecta you hit your greatest sports experience in Minneapolis history?
Well, I mean, how either there's a bad connection, my bits aren't working, or Softy's cranky AF on a Monday, but I just don't feel the connection we normally have. So it's something like that, because you just went so pear-shaped, with all due respect. When you were talking about career moments for anybody, you put the Golden Gophers in the equation. Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm just trying to give you more opportunities for accomplishment. That's all.
You're so off your game right now.
I'm not off my game.
Bro, my bits are elite today. I'm just a little long-winded. It's a Monday. Hold on. But, I mean, you had Warren Moon mixed up for playing with the Gophers and not the Vikings when he played at UW, I think, right?
I'm just trying to give you more options for success. That's all I'm saying. Out of all the things that you've been a part of in Minneapolis.
Now, the greatest moment is yet to come. But at the end of the season this year, the autumn wind will be a Viking, pillaging just for fun. And we're going to take you upside down and round and laugh at your chickens after we have won.
Wow. Did you write that out before you?
Your elite today.
Did you write that out?
This good on 9 to noon.
Did you write that out before you came on the show? Or did that all just pop out of your brain?
No, I'm sitting here at Canterbury looking at the pretty track. Good. I just scooped 1500. My son is a bartender at Canterbury. He's 21.
Nice.
So I'm saying hi to him and kissing the cherubic cheeks. And I might sit down at a blackjack table for an hour or a half hour, 20 minutes if I get stuck. And then I'm going to get into. See, I got to find a way to channel my bits on your show to 9 to noon KFAM, because I'm always better here than I am there, but they got the wheelbarrow and you got nothing.
Well, that's
so
what you do.
Figure out how God's working this whole thing.
That's the way you do it, man. You try out your bits on somebody else. They don't work. You say the hell with it. They work and you bring them to the show. I do it on Twitter in front of my wife all the time. And most of the time I get just a stare. It doesn't work. I'm going to flush it. Move on.
I mean, that in the business, we call that stepping on somebody's touchdown call. Mm. It's like when I'm in the middle of an elite and he's loose and the Bursage jumps in with, oh man. I loved it in that moment, Minneapolis Miracle, because it was so raw and genuine. But nevertheless, that stepping on a touchdown call, I just delivered, you know, what I thought was the dagger for carrying this entire segment. And then you come in and say, it's always a good idea to work your bad bits on somebody else's show. Softy's back. built the time right now. Softy sounds better in FM.
You're the man. Enjoy the week. We'll talk soon, buddy. Appreciate this, pal.
Hold
Love
on.
You.
I promised Minneapolis I would do this phraseology today. You'll probably hear it again tomorrow.
There we go.
Hey, Norto, we got to get Softy on the radio show. I mean, the Kraken are new and terrible. The M's are terrible. And the Seahawks are about set to be terrible. We don't get these moments very often with Softy. So he's booked at 11:40 Central tomorrow. KFAN, part of the free iHeartRadio app. Talk back now.
I am, and I'll be coming on trying out our bits on this show with you tomorrow at 9:40 Pacific time, 11:40 Central. All right, man. Enjoy it. We'll see you then. Bye.
I love you deeply.
All right, Paul Allen with us on the radio program.
The season can't end like that!
Honestly, I mean, hitting a trifecta at Canterbury Park, well, what have the Vikings done? What have the Twins? Well, the Twins won the World Series twice, but Paul wasn't there. He hadn't gotten to Minneapolis yet. I think he's only been there for about 20 years or so.
Yeah, PA? Well, if I had the choice of calling the Minneapolis Miracle or winning $750, I'll take the Minneapolis Miracle.
Let's get a break. A lot of text to go over. We'll have testimonials as well at 4:45 today. Corey Brock joining us at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up on Softy and Dick on 93.3 KJRFM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
I was sitting on the plane, the jumbo jet, coming home from Northern California over the weekend, and I was writing on my little handy dandy notes app on my iPhone, yes. Which I believe you have the same app as me.
Use them all the time.
Topics that I wanted to hit on, things that we missed. One thing, I don't know if you talked about this at all. Did you see the picture that was going around Twitter of the metal brace that Chris Carson has in his neck?
No.
Did you see that photo?
I did not see that photo.
Yeah, if you go to Twitter, I don't know, go to the handy dandy search option all there, right. And just type in Chris Carson neck and it might come up. You see this picture, this x-ray, and I don't know honestly if it's the exact same one he's got or an actual x-ray of Chris Carson's neck. Did you find it yet, by the way?
Yeah.
Type in Chris Carson neck in the search bar on Twitter. And there's a tweet from a guy, a doctor named Jesse Morse, 3 days ago put it out. So I don't know if that's an actual x-ray or not of Chris Carson's neck, but this guy is claiming that that is similar to what Chris Carson has in his neck. And I see that photo that you're looking at right now, and I think there's no way he can play football, right?
Screws and nails.
I mean, I'm not a doctor.
In your neck.
You're not a doctor. Jacob's not a doctor. Jackson Fouts, when he gets back, maybe a doctor. He's been gone long enough, by the way. But I see this photo of what is supposedly in Chris Carson's neck.
That is scary.
And I got to be honest with you. If I ever saw Chris Carson play another down of football and he hit his head, I'd be scared out of my mind for him, knowing what's in his neck. Wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what the ramifications are of him getting hit again, if this is going to protect it.
Right.
If I'm Chris Carson, agreed, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have it couldn't possibly get any worse with that end than if it would have just been,
sure,
you know, Chris Carson 5 years ago, then I would consider continuing to play.
Right.
But if there's even a small chance that of paralysis, more so than it would have been before he injured his neck, then forget about it.
All I'm saying is the optics, right? When I see that photo, and again, I mean, I'm not trying to claim that I have any idea what would happen if Chris got hit in the head or had some neck trauma again. For, like you said, he may be better off now with this thing.
Right.
The chance of injury may be slimmer now than it was before with this procedure that he had done. All I'm saying is when I saw that photo flying home on Friday, the optics that first hit me are, man, you got to call quits.
Well, and how
you got to retire, dude? You can't play.
How can you take a handoff
and
just bust through the line of scrimmage in a regular season game, lower your head without thinking about that?
Well, and just think about like Jamal Adams. Like Jamal Adams, claimed that he had the shoulder, the elbow, the fingers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. All right. You know, we'll see what happens this year. But there were multiple plays last year where we saw Jamal Adams in a position to go make a tackle and he didn't do it.
That's right.
And maybe he didn't do it because he was banged up. Right. And that's fine. You know, we'll see what happens this year when he's totally healthy. But if I'm Chris Carson and I know I have that in my neck, I don't think I could be able to even come remotely close to lowering my head or even being willing to get my neck hit by a defender, knowing what is inside of me. And again, you know, after having a conversation with a doctor, he may say, hey, I know this looks terrible. The photo looks awful, but it's actually the exact opposite.
Maybe
you're actually much better off and your chance of injury will now be greatly reduced because you have this thing inside of you. I saw that thing, and then you combine it with the idea that they drafted Kenneth Walker in the second round. They brought back Rashad Penny. At best right now, Dick, he's your third option, I think, at running back. Mm-hmm. At best, he's your third option.
Well, he's in case of emergency break glass option.
For a lot of money,
point.
At least on paper.
For a lot of money.
He'd have to take a pay cut, I think, if he's on this football team next season. But I think what my gut tells me, and I'm not basing this on anything else besides the fact that he's still not out there. He's been gone for a while. He's not practicing. He hasn't played in forever. I just would be surprised, wouldn't you? And maybe I'm allowing this photo that I'm seeing on Twitter here to get the best of me and to cloud my judgment. But after I saw that Friday, I said to myself and I said to my wife, he's done. There's no way he'll play again. And well, I would be totally in encouragement. Mm-hmm. If he said, you know what,
absolutely,
I don't want to play this game anymore, how could anybody criticize him for walking away with that in his throat?
Well, and it's not even really that much of a financial issue either, because the Hawks will owe him money whether he plays or not. And
right,
let's face it,
right,
a 29-year-old Chris Carson with that in his neck next year isn't making any money from anybody else anyway.
Right.
I mean, he's getting like league minimum.
Yeah.
So it's not like he is... If he plays, he has an opportunity to have another big contract and make double-digit millions of dollars. No.
Right.
He's not going to make more than $2 million tops in his career after he gets done with the Seahawks.
Yeah, he would have to have a miraculous turnaround, both production, availability, health-wise, the whole thing. All right, 354, we're going to break. Corey Brock, the man with two first names, brought to you by our friends at SimplySeattle.com. He'll join the radio show next on 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.